89.3 WFPL. It's 139, and this is Here and Now. The Louisville Metro Housing Authority is going to host a meeting tonight for people who will be displaced by the demolition of the Shepherd Square complex in the Smoketown neighborhood. The city has received a $22 million federal grant to replace the barrack-style structures with mixed-income housing, including some subsidized units. Housing Authority is going to soon begin interviewing Shepherd Square residents about where they'll be relocated and also about the criteria for obtaining housing in the new complex that's going to be built in its place. We spoke this morning to someone who lives in Shepherd Square.
Yejide Travis, the resident of Shepherd Square.
Ms. Travis, how long have you lived in Shepherd Square?
I found out last night. I'd been saying 3 years. It's 5 years. This July will be 5 years.
How would you describe the facilities?
They do need to be torn down. They are in very bad shape. There's a lot of mold. The property hasn't been properly maintained. It is inhumane, truly. I'm not particularly pleased at the process that's used. I think it displaces poverty. It doesn't solve the problem of poverty. It simply moves it out of mainstream view. I don't see it, so it's not that big of a problem. After seeing what went on at the Liberty Green thing, I don't see the benefit to residents. You get a new place to live, but not in that particular community. So I'm not one in favor of tweaking the system. I think we need a new system. I think we need to handle poverty a little differently. I have witnessed this process since, 2 years ago when they began the process within Shepherd Square. They are following the letter of the grant. That does not mean it's humane. That doesn't mean it's particularly helpful to anyone that is being faced with this move. But they are following the letter of the law.
What questions does Mr. Berry need to answer directly?
When does the process begin? How soon can I move? What's the fastest way for me to get on whatever list is available so that I can relocate ASAP?
That's Yejide Travis, who was talking with WFPL's Philip Bailey this morning, asking questions I think probably a lot of people are asking Tim Berry right now. And Tim Berry is here with us. He's the executive director of the Louisville Metro Housing Authority. About those questions she asked at the end, you know, when is it going to be? How long is it going to be? Where are we going to go? Can you give firm answers to her and other residents there yet?
Yes, sir. And that those answers will start coming tonight. We'll also start the interviews with each individual resident starting next Tuesday. I've discussed some of these concerns with Ms. Travis in person, know her well, actually, because she used to live at Clarksdale, as I recall. And so we've had some conversations, and I think many of her concerns are legitimate. But the relocation process in earnest will start next week. Every resident will be assigned a case manager. That doesn't mean everybody has to use a case manager, but they're there to help. Help with the transition, help you reach some of the goals you might want to attain, and provide any other services that we can provide to make the transition as easy as possible.
This transition will be temporarily away from Shepherd Square, and then will it mean for all of them coming back to Shepherd Square or some of them? How will that process work?
Well, some residents will come back to Shepherd Square. Some residents have indicated a desire to at least look at the place once it's completed. But what we have found to be true with these relocation efforts is that when people move away and get settled, and we have such good scattered site housing, they will also have the opportunity to get a Section 8 voucher, which gives them choice and mobility, that a lot of people who may indicate initially that they would be interested in coming back choose not to because they're settled, kids are in school, and they like where they are.
So the temporary neighborhood for some becomes a permanent relocation.
It does. It does. And many people, or I would should say most of the residents of Shepherd Square, have indicated, at least initially, that they are most interested in obtaining a Section 8 voucher or going to one of our scattered site units. And we have over 800 scattered site units throughout the community.
Given your experience with relocations like this in the past and reconstruction efforts, It must be hard to remove a community and put it in different places, knowing these people have made friends and made connections there, and they have maybe good transportation that's available to them, public transportation available. How do you work out those processes and deal with, I think that she kept saying this, the human element of this and kind of referring to that. How do you manage that?
Well, we do that through our case managers.
Okay.
And they are there for the sole purpose of helping Shepherd Square residents ease into the transition of moving someplace else. And we also, in terms of offering scattered sites that we have available, we only choose scattered sites that are on bus lines so that transportation should not be an issue, that are near services like grocery stores and pharmacies and other things that people need. And certainly it is a change because it's an imposition on the residents and it's difficult, but hopefully it'll be a change for the better. If for no other reason, they're getting out of abysmal housing. And that house, Shepherd Square, was built in 1939, so it's been around a long time. We certainly got our money's worth, but it needs to be replaced. And it's not fit for human habitation from the standpoint of its layout and design. We can do better, and we should do better.
When you say scattered sites, just so I understand what you mean by that, these are the locations around the city where there's other housing available, other public housing.
Mm-hmm, that's correct. It's individual units, usually in single units, single homes, single apartments, typically in concentrations of no more than 10. We have them all over the county. Merger benefited us greatly in terms of being able to expand our repertoire of scattered site housing. And what that allows residents to do is to get into a new public housing or assisted unit, but a unit that is not stigmatized by the fact that it's clearly identified as public housing. That it's just part of the fabric of the neighborhood.
There are some large populations of Somalis mm-hmm. that are in Shepherd Square. Do they have special needs that need to be taken in consideration as you're thinking about this relocation?
Yes, they do. And we will be hiring. In fact, we've already got the assistance of Catholic Charities and others who provide translators for us. All of our materials will be translated so that the Somali families can easily digest what we're telling them. And they typically have large family sizes, so that presents some challenges. But we also understand from some previous relocations we have done at Iroquois, where there was a large number of Somali families, that many of those families, if not most of those families, opted for Section 8, that they wanted a Section 8 voucher so they could choose where they live.
In terms of, you mentioned the public transportation being generally available to these folks who are going to be moving to the scattered sites. Social services, church services that are available that church and religious organizations provide, can they get to those places to help people?
Well, that's the thing we work with them on during this whole case management process. That's why it is so important that residents participate. And it's individualized, so we can assess what needs they have and also what their concerns are and help to address those. And I can't underscore enough the importance of Shepherd Square residents taking advantage of the case management service. It's not the whole array because we've got a whole menu of things that they can use, but the things that may benefit them the most in terms of their transition, I would encourage residents to at least make that initial call.
In transitions like these in the past, did a large percentage of residents take advantage of the case management or were fewer doing that?
Well, at Clarksdale, now Liberty Green, we had roughly 200 families that participated, and we think that will be much higher at Shepherd Square because the value of case management word gets around. Now, certainly there are residents at Shepherd Square who don't need our help at all, and we found that to be true at Clarksdale, that there were a good number of residents that were looking for this opportunity. And we're waiting for the opportunity to move. They had saved a bunch of money and went out. A few of them bought houses. They were ready to go.
So as for some percentage of them, this is a chance actually to start a new life.
Absolutely,
really.
Yes. And I think most residents would accept the fact that the facility itself is worn out. It has nothing to do with the people that live there now or 10 years ago, 20 or 30 years ago. It has everything to do with the fact that the buildings themselves are outdated.
70 years.
70 years. It's got boiler heat, old pipes, and it's certainly decent, safe, and sanitary, meets all the housing codes, but it's just worn out. As Ms. Travis said, it's time to replace it.
We're talking with Tim Berry, who's the executive director of the Louisville Metro Housing Authority, and we're going to continue this conversation, if we can, Mr. Berry, and take just a short break here. It's Here and Now from WFPL News.
Support for WFPL comes from Indiana University Southeast in New Albany, where students can earn an IU bachelor's or master's degree in more than 50 degree programs, like business, education, nursing, the arts, or the sciences. Details at ius.edu. From the Louisville Palace, presenting the classic movie series, James Stewart, July 15th through August 27th, featuring such original classics as Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Harvey, Rear Window, Vertigo, and more. Season passes and individual tickets are available at the Louisville Palace box office.
Here and Now from 89.3 WFPL. It's 149Q coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon. On today's program, we're going to spend some time talking with Hugh Jackman. That's after 2 o'clock and the news today. Right now with me is Tim Berry, who is the executive director of Louisville Metro Housing Authority. We've been talking about plans for Shepherd Square. There's going to be the first of many public hearings tonight, a chance for residents to comment and to talk about the changes that are going to happen there. The city is going to tear down, as we said, that 70-year-old housing complex and begin the process of rebuilding it. It means relocation and a lot of change, but the city is going to try its best here to make this work for a lot of people, some of whom may find entirely new lives out of this, others who will return to Shepherd Square. One thing that Yejide Travis said a few minutes ago when she was talking about some of her concerns about this change, she definitely thinks it's time to tear it down and mm-hmm. rebuild. She said, "I'm concerned that you're going to displace poverty." There are different ways, I suppose, to look at what you might do with housing developments, and I don't know if I'm simplifying this too much, but maybe this is the way I sort of understand it, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. You can rebuild a housing development and make it much more mixed income, or you can concentrate people who need public housing in one particular area. Are those the two ways of kind of thinking about it, and what are you going
to
do?
Well, that's not the only ways to address it, but the concentration of poverty that occurs at these large public housing complexes, whether it be Shepherd Square, Clarksdale, or Cabrini Green in Chicago or anyplace else, attracts predators. That is our biggest problem at these large public housing complexes, are that people who come in from the outside who have no reason to be there, aren't anybody's lease, and they just import problems. And I think that concentration of poverty stigmatizes people. I truly do, because I think it says to them in no uncertain terms, because of your economic situation, you're not worthy of better housing. And I think that's absolutely wrong, that we need to be able to provide better housing to people regardless of their income. And I think that is the first step for many towards self-sufficiency and the opportunity to, you know, to further their education, go to school, and that kind of stuff. Because right now, people in Shepherd Square worry about their safety, the safety of their children, the condition of their unit. And certainly the safety is a major issue in light of what occurred just a few days ago at Shepherd Square.
Two young men killed.
Yes, what a waste. And those young men did not live at Shepherd Square. And that happens much more often than not.
The stigma then is created for these families and individuals as they are relocated to other neighborhoods. Does the stigma follow them? And people think, well, people are coming to my neighborhood. I don't know if they're going to bring violence with them.
I don't believe that happens, and I think the stigma associated with the complex, and I'll give you some anecdotal information that I gathered or was actually told by two residents of Clarksdale, who said that they had applied for jobs and had moved through the process and were on the finalist list, if you will, for jobs, and their employer, who shall remain nameless, asked where they lived, and woman said, "I live on Marshall Court," and he, that person asked, "Where is Marshall Court?" And she said, "Clarksdale." Never heard back from that employer. Now, I'm not suggesting that anything unsavory went on, but I've heard that more than once. And I think that establishes, at least for me, that there's a stigma associated with living in public housing. And it's an unfair stigma. But if you can get people out of the environment, get them a nice, newer home with some of the conveniences that you and I take for granted, like central air conditioning, then maybe the housing issues in their family are set aside and are finally been addressed, so now they can move on to other things.
Even creates perhaps a perceptual change for other people in the community if
yes.
they come in contact with those neighborhoods.
Absolutely. And we have, like I said, we have scattered site, which seems to be one of the preferences for people coming out of not only Clarksdale but Shepherd Square, that in Section 8, because it gives them the opportunity to choose their own home and choose where they want to live. Now, when we create these scattered site units, we keep an eye towards creating units inside the Watterson because of what you mentioned and Ms. Travis mentioned about the support system. Now, for some people moving outside the Watterson, out to, you know, Westport Road, East End, South End, works just fine because a lot of those residents are following jobs. But for many, they need to be closer into the urban core, because that's where their support system is, their church and their friends and their family. So we always keep an eye towards creating units more inside the waters than outside.
In light of this conversation we've been having about stigmas attached to this neighborhood and about violence and where people perceive it's coming from, will the standards for returning to Shepherd Square or coming into the new Shepherd mm-hmm. Square be stricter or different than the standards for being a resident there now?
Well, the application process is basically the same. They have to apply. We'll do a criminal records check like we did with anybody who applies for Section 8 or public housing. There is a work requirement on Hope 6 sites. But if you are in school, job training, elderly or disabled, you're exempt. And the work requirement that we originally established at Liberty Green was 30 hours per week. But when the economy tanked, we ratcheted that down to 20, because why would you evict an otherwise good tenant because they're getting 27 hours instead of 30? Makes no sense. So we're very flexible in terms of the work requirement in light of the economic conditions.
Is the idea of this housing changing over time? I'm guessing that when the housing was originally built, it was maybe with an idea that this is a transitional kind of mm-hmm. arrangement. These people will get jobs and they'll leave after maybe a short period of time. Is that different now? Is it more permanent?
Well, that's kind of a misconception about public housing. Public housing was created to be transitional housing, and in many respects, it still is. Now, our turnover rate in public housing and Section 8, people leave the program of their own choosing. Mm-hmm. After about 4 or 5 years. Now, that's gone up recently because people are a little hesitant to move out on their own because of the economy, which makes perfect sense. But we always have turnover in public housing, always have turnover in Section 8. Yes, we do have some residents that have been on the Section 8 program for quite some time, are in public housing. But the majority of residents on both programs eventually transition out.
You've done this a few times. Sometimes it works, some things don't. Mm-hmm. What's the biggest lesson you've learned from doing this before that you're going to take to Shepherd Square?
Well, we will be judged. The housing authority will be judged. I'll be judged by how we treat the people that are being imposed upon, the residents of Shepherd Square. Everything else will fall into place. We'll build the buildings, and they'll be leased up. They'll look very nice, and people will come and live there. But how do the residents of Shepherd Square fare in the end? That's what matters to me. And it matters to my staff, and that's why they're so dedicated to making sure that the transition for Shepherd Square residents is as easy as possible.
How do you figure that out? You follow up months and years after?
Absolutely. Yeah. We do have a tracking system. So anybody's involved in case management, we follow them for 5 years plus and continue to offer services. And there's a whole array of services that people can utilize. And like I said before, some will use one or two things, and some will use the whole array. And that's fine. That's what it's there for. And we have a dedicated staff of case managers, social workers, whose only job it is to help Shepherd Square residents go through the relocation process.
It's a big project ahead.
Yeah, it is. It is. We've done two of these before that have been, we think, successful. Park Duval, certainly, 15 years ago, and now Liberty Green. But this, I think, will be the last of the Hope 6 kind of projects, because Hope 6 is no longer. So,
well, thank you coming and talking with us, and I'm sure we will have you back again.
Happy to do it. Thank you, Todd.
Tim Berry is the executive director of the Louisville Metro Housing Authority. The meeting tonight is taking place at 5:30 at Mazeek Middle School on South Jackson Street, and there will be other meetings along the way, too. We have more information about this at WFPL.org. You can search Shepherd Square there and get all of our coverage of it, and, of course, our coverage will be ongoing. Here and now from 89.3 WFPL, Louisville's NPR news station. I'm Todd Mundt for WFPL News. It's 1:58.